God is fully invested in the lives of His children. And today on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley points out how He influences us and helps lead us where we need to go.
God will use people. He will use nature. He will use situations. He will use your environment. He will use circumstances. God is involved arranging circumstances today to prepare you for what's going to happen tomorrow.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Did you know there's a kind of heavenly GPS system? Yeah, Isaiah 30:21 tells us, "Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or the left." And today, Pastor Ray shows us how God's providential guidance can keep us on the right path. Let's find out how.
Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verses 9 through 23. The title of the message is called The Inner Secret. And I would say that if you could ask the Apostle Paul, do you have some insights and some secrets that you could share with us? How to survive? Paul, you've been through a lot, been through more than we'll ever go through in our life. And yet you were always rejoicing and you were confident and you just overcame so much. How did you do it? Because we know you're human, just like us. I think he would share with us the very things we're going to read about this morning. Okay, first of all, verses 9 and 10, relaxing into the providence of God. God is at work all around you if you will only open your eyes. Verse 9, Paul says, "The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Not very often that you'll find a minister saying, "Hey, look at me, follow me, do what I do what I say, that which you have received from me, incorporate." But that really is the way that God designed being in His family, is learning from other brothers and sisters, learning from and looking to one another. Now, there are a variety of ways that God speaks to us and reveals Himself to us. And I want to be clear what I mean by that. I believe that if you are a rational person, you're going to believe in God. I believe that if you are a fairly honest and reasonable person, you're going to believe in God. And I believe that when we talk about experiencing the Lord, or the old-fashioned way of describing that relationship is a walk with God, walking with God. "Come, walk with me, Abraham." That the revelation of the Bible, and I'm talking about the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, is that anyone, any human being, the common man or woman, can have a real, experiential, tangible, sensory experience of walking with God. It's not just for the mind. There's some, religions that it's all in the mind. Now, the mind is part of it, and God reveals His truth into the mind and from the mind into the heart, but there's more. I believe that in that sensory revelation of God, that you can see the Lord. You can experience God through your eyes, your physical eyes. You can experience Him through your ears audibly. And you say, "Well, what do you mean?" Okay, starting off through nature, God communicates. Through nature, God reveals Himself. Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night utters knowledge." There is a a way that God is speaking to us visually and audibly through creation, through nature itself. You can learn a lot about the Creator. And like I said, I think it's fairly rational and reasonable to look up and say, I see a Creator here. Now, what can we learn about the Creator? Well, he is extremely creative. I was walking last night, before church. I'd finished my studies and preparation and everything, and so I drove down to the new property, and I just walked around it. And I was praying for the school and praying for the children who will be coming there. And as I walked, there was some kind of a post in the ground. And on the top of it, I just stopped. And there was something that I don't see that often, a dragonfly. And it was huge. It was one of those big, translucent, sapphire, bluish, kind of a turquoise. And I just looked at that thing, and its wings, which were still, and you could see through them, and the membranes through the wings, and I just remember looking at it, partly because I was thinking about these very things, and I thought, how did you think up dragonflies? They're fascinating, strange little creatures on the outside, and how did you make them on the inside? And they have their own little lives and world. This guy was probably just having his summer vacation, you know, here sitting on the fence and drying his wings. And then you look around and the mountains and the sky and clouds, and there's just such beauty. He's an artist. I think that I can see that God is a romantic at heart. He is mysterious. So there's a lot you can learn about God through creation. But there is even more, something even more personal and more intimate about God's personality that is revealed not through nature, but through people. And I would say that one of the things I love to do, you get to always see me preaching and teaching. What you don't get to see or watch or observe is the hours that I spend, you know, alone in my office, and just like, you know, the other pastors when they teach, and you've got, I love to be in my office and my library and my books, and I have all kinds of books, because I am fascinated with history, which I think you probably know. I love the culture, the language. I've got language books, and then you add the commentaries, and you're trying, it's like the pieces of a puzzle. You're trying to paint, and for me, it's like a picture that I need to be able to see and then describe in a way that you can understand what all these thoughts are about. But I would say this, that for all my reading and for all my books and for all that I have learned from those books, and as enjoyable as they all are, they do not compare with what I have personally learned and received from people. Men and women of God that I have seen Jesus in them. And I think of, first of all, for instance, especially my grandmothers on both sides. I was blessed, kind of like Timothy and his grandmother, who was a believer and kind of had this great influence upon Timothy. So also, both my grandmothers, Grandmother Bentley on my dad's side and Grandmother Brown on my mom's side, were very godly women, spiritual women, prayer warriors, and had a profound influence. There was another man that, growing up, was a missionary to Africa, that he had a very deep impact on my life when I felt called into ministry. And Africa was one of the first places. He had all these stories, and it was exciting and adventurous and dangerous, and miracles seemed to be right on the surface everywhere he went, and it did something to my heart. And there was something of the Spirit of the Lord I saw in him, and I would listen to him, and he listened to me. And you know, you have been influenced by Christians, by men and women in whom you saw something of the reality tangibly in a human way of Jesus. And it's always an amazing thing to go, wow, I see something. And this is maybe something that has happened to many of you, where someone that you work with or someone that you know, maybe from school or whatever, they come up to you and they go, you know, there's something different about you. What is it? And then you get the opportunity to share the Lord. But they're not even saved. They see it. They sense it. Because there is something about God. We're made in His image, and there's something about being a human being and having personality and a mind, but also a heart and the emotions and the soul and that spiritual, intuitive reality and sensitivity, that there's nothing like the truth of God poured through personality. And Paul is saying, what you've seen in me, if you've seen anything of Jesus, what you've heard from me, what you've received from me, these things do. And the God of peace will be with you. Verse 10, he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Paul is mentioning a thank you. He's in prison, and the Philippians heard that Paul was in prison. And Paul is the one who had come and shared the gospel with them, and they got saved and planted the church there in ancient Philippi, ancient Greece. So they had a very deep affection for Paul. And now that he is in prison, they said, well, what does he need? And unlike today, we have a state prison system where the state takes the responsibility to feed and even give some medical care and other basic needs. In the ancient Roman times, the state didn't take care of the prisoners. The prisoners were on their own. And if you as a prisoner were, you didn't have any family or you'd, you know, been so rebellious, you didn't have anybody, you were not going to make it. But if you were somebody like Paul that wasn't even really, hadn't violated any Roman laws, but there he is in prison, you could have visitors, and it was up to family, friends, to give you food or medicine, or in Paul's case, sometimes he wanted books brought to him. And so the Philippians, hearing about Paul, had said, we're going to take care of you, Paul. We love you. And so they sent him these gifts. And Paul is basically saying, thank you, it came at just the right time. And from that, I want you to know and understand this. It's kind of an old word. Some of you will remember it, and for some of you, it may be, unfortunately, a new word. It shouldn't be, but it's the word providence. Providence is God working all around you through the circumstances of your life. I think I put into your notes, the word providence comes from two Latin words, pro, meaning beforehand, and video, obviously meaning to see. In other words, providence or pro video means to see beforehand. God sees beforehand the future, what will happen, what's going to happen, and it doesn't mean merely that he sees in advance what will happen as if he were a detached observer. But providence means that because God sees your future, God is involved arranging circumstances today to prepare you for what's going to happen tomorrow. And so Paul is realizing here that kind of by a providential thing, just the right time, the gift came. How many of you could share a story in your life where you needed something, you were desperate for something, and at just the right time, or in some cases, in just the nick of time, God delivered. And when you look at it, you go, oh, the circumstances were, it looks like just the coolest coincidence in the world. But let me tell you, there are no coincidences. God arranges everything. And so your lives are not just these random things that are taking place. But in fact, your life is arranged by God. He is involved in every detail of it. He knows everything about you. He knows everything. He is seeking to grab your attention and the very circumstances you're in. If you look carefully, it's kind of hidden unless you really look for it, but if you look for him in all of your circumstances, you'll begin to see, you're speaking to me here. You've definitely grabbed my attention now. So that's what you wanted to say. God will use people. He will use nature. He will use situations. He will use your environment. He will use circumstances. And there are some people that have this idea that God kind of wound the universe up like a big natural machine and kind of let it go. and it's on its own. You know, it's a series of random accidents that just happen. Contrary to that, Paul recognized and shared with the believers that, in fact, God is working all things together for good. Now, obviously, since we're not God, we can't see always what he's doing. We don't understand it. But he says, trust me, he is. Jesus said, for instance, of how detailed does God go? Because some people say, okay, I understand on a macro level, God's kind of arranging things according to his will. But it's a different story when I think about, is he really arranging in such a careful, minute way my life? And Jesus said this, a sparrow does not fall to the ground on the earth, but what your Father in heaven knows it. Now, during this hour that we'll spend together, I wonder how many sparrows are gonna, you know, they're sitting on a wire somewhere and they have a little heart attack and they fall and kind of sad to think about. That wasn't a really good analogy, was it? But they, sorry, just kind of came. He notices that. He knows the numbers of the hair of your head. He knows details. I mean, you could go on from that. He knows how many white blood cells. He knows the details of everything. He's involved deeply, personally, closely, intimately, but the majority of even his own children are oblivious, blind, or unaware of it. You have to look for it. You have to kind of search for it. And so Paul is sharing with the believers there. Now, look with me in verse 11. Learning to tap into the hidden resources. Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Wow. God, help us learn this lesson. Help us learn to be content. What does that mean, to be content? It means that you don't want anything, you don't need anything. In fact, the description of your life is that you're so full, so satisfied, so rich, and so complete, you're happy as a clam. Although I don't know how happy clams are. But anyway, you're happy. Now let me ask this. Don't raise your hands, but just in your own minds, how many of you, when you think of that kind of total satisfaction, contentedness, describes you? How many does it not describe? Paul says here a very interesting thing. He says, I have learned to be content. Paul's probably in his 60s at this time. So it took a while for Paul, even an apostle, even to figure it out. It was something that he learned. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I have learned to be content with, and I have learned to be content without. Have you learned that yet? The honest reality, and this is true of all human beings, however many, 6 billion or whatever that there are. One thing that I think we all know from our own personal human experience is that on the inside of a human being, it's like a sea. A description of a soul is like the sea. It's always moving. It's always changing. There's always, you know, the highs come and bring the heat, and then the lows come and stir up storms, that's, you know, the storm-tossed sea is a great description of what it's like to be a human being on the inside in the world fallen such as it is. But you remember the story of Jesus who was out on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes and it's tossing. Some of you are like that. You've got storms coming. For some of you, it's that maybe you're here because you got let go somewhere and you had to relocate and you're new. And, you know, you're kind of a little jittery about the future. For some, like the kids, it's, I got to go back to school. Oh, they're churning. They're like a stormy, tossed sea. And God wants to teach us contentedness. And I think Paul shares with us how we can do that. Verse 12, he says, here's what he learned. So if you ask Paul, how'd you learn how to be content? He shares it with us. He says, I know how, or I have learned how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, the word learned in verse 12 is different from the same word in verse 11. Verse 11, Paul says, I've learned to be content, kind of a general word meaning I didn't know, now I've learned, now I know. Verse 12, when he says, I've learned how to be full, I've learned how to be hungry, I've learned how to have everything, and I've learned to be without or to suffer need. Different, that word learned is different. And that's where the beauty of the Greek language comes in as opposed to English. English just has one word to describe learning. I learned this, and then I learned that. But there can be different ways to learn. And that's why I've put into your notes here just a little insight into this particular Greek word that Paul chose. Here, learn means, quote, initiated into the secret. It is a word that was used of the ancient pagan religions, let's call them the Greek religions, with reference to their inner secrets. Paul is writing to a Gentile audience, predominantly there in Philippi. And many of them had Greek mythology, Greek religion, Greek philosophy as kind of their former way of life and thinking. And in their various religions, and by the way, there are some still today, and certain clubs or whatever, that once you are initiated into the official, you're a member, and you've been accepted, now we'll let you in on the inner secrets of our society, or the inner secrets of our club, or the inner secrets of our religion. And Paul was aware of that particular word, the initiation into the secrets. And he took that exact Greek word out of the Greek language and culture and brought it into a personal relationship with the one true living God. He goes, now let me share with you the real initiation into the inner secrets. Learn to be content, no matter where you are. So Paul says, I've had it all, and I've had everything taken away. And I have learned, in whatsoever state I am in, to be content through the trials and the testings, the wonderful secret of contentment.
And that's a secret we all need to learn. Pastor Ray Bentley with insight from Philippians chapter 4 today here on Maranatha Radio. Now, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's The Inner Secret. And we can send it your way for just $7. Again, the message title, The Inner Secret. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Philippians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. What's the most surprising facet you uncover in your book? What brings the biggest wow when you tell people about this material?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is learning about the feasts of the Lord. I think the church has done a great job of looking at the feasts in the spring that go from Passover, when Christ was crucified, to the resurrection, and then Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell. But there are three more feasts that are in the fall, and those three feasts point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and really are all about the second coming. They all point to the days I think we're living in right now, Dave, and I think people will be fascinated to learn more about these feasts, how they reveal more about Jesus Christ and the hope of His return.
You know, many New Testament believers look at the feasts as simply an historical fact, and they don't really actually pull that material into their day-to-day relationship with the Lord, but that really is a mistake, isn't it?
It is. The next feast to be fulfilled, it's all these allusions, really, to the return of Jesus Christ. And I think it's going to be mind-boggling for people to look into this and understand deeper layers that will ignite their faith and put fire in their soul for sharing the Lord.
All right. Well, Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Philippians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.